Good morning. It's the 28th of October. I'm going to read to you today from an exhortation from Brother Harry Tennant, which encompasses both the Daniel and Acts readings. I've decided to read the whole of this exhortation, which may well take us 3 days. I read, "The book of Daniel is a spirit-provided blend of prophecy and actual life. And the two strands say the same things, but in different ways. In the one, we have clear statements that God rules in the kingdoms of men, and in the other, we see God actually at work on behalf of his people. This blend is the key to our understanding and use of prophecy. There is little point in understanding all prophecy if our lives remain untouched and separate from the message that prophecy conveys. This has always been true, and is becoming increasingly so as we move to the grand climax, the time when the controversy of Zion will be settled once and for all, when the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, when the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. We are on the threshold of the time when the fabric of this civilization will be rent to reveal the hand behind all things and the coming of the Son of Man. It was to Daniel that these things were vouchsafed whilst he was in the land of captivity, estranged from the land of promise and far from the holy city. He had to live by faith. He had to believe that Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius and Cyrus, all of whom Daniel knew personally, were in God's hand, performing his will in the furtherance of his purpose." In today's reading, Daniel 6, we have revealed to us once more how important and influential was Daniel's place in the life of the kingdom of Persia. Over the 127 princes or satraps were 3 presidents, and of the 3, Daniel was preferred, distinguished. Indeed, Darius was contemplating making Daniel his vice-regent or viceroy. Amongst the other princes and presidents, Daniel was envied. This was not because he was a go-getter, an aspirant for power, an ambitious worldly man, but because his goodness and solid worth excited the jealousy of his peers. This is not an uncommon thing. Joseph was envied of his brethren, Nehemiah of his enemies, and Christ of the rulers of the Jews. Daniel was a stranger, a sojourner in the land of his captivity, although by this time he was an old man and had lived in the land for 70 years. He had not become Persianized, and he lived his life apart. Earlier it had been said of him, "There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and understanding and wisdom was found in him." There was no way in which his enemies could overthrow him, except by a pretext. By flattering the king himself, and without mention of Daniel, the enemies succeeded in making it illegal for 30 days to seek petitions of anyone, gods or men, except the king. We read in verse 7 that all the presidents were involved in this ploy, but it must be evident that Daniel was not included despite the eminence of his position. Of the law of the Medes and Persians it is said that it altereth not. It was an unchangeable law and could not be revoked or ignored. The king had been trapped by his servants, and Daniel was ignorant of the prince's devices until the trap was sprung. Meanwhile, they had been forced to say amongst themselves, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." To be continued, God willing, tomorrow. Thank you for listening.